I'm so thankful for this opportunity to come around the Word this morning. And can you believe it's like the last Sunday of 2025 already? You know, for all the kids and young people in the room, I don't know, when you were a kid, I was always like, oh, I can't wait. For time's going so slowly, I can't wait to grow up, like to get my first job and earn some money, to be able to drive a car. And then now, like, I can do all those things and I'm like, I'm old. Time is going by so quickly. Why does it not slow down? But, you know, as I think about the year that's gone, as at the end of the year, we tend to take time to reflect, to take stock of the year that's passed, to reflect on the good, the bad, what's happened in the year as well. And, you know, technology helps us do this. Anyone else here use Spotify as an app? Yep, you know, Spotify Wrapped at the end of the year, they tell you your top five listening and, you know, your listening age and your top playlist and who's your favorite artist that you listen to the most. Yeah, it's like, you know, it helps you take stock of what you've done for the year. Now, you know, unsurprisingly, my top was worship songs, because that's what I listen to in the car. But quite surprisingly, my third highest genre was kids music. Now, for those who don't know me, I don't have kids, so like, why is there kids music? And then I realized, and this is a little hot tip for you guys, people who like to exercise, Disney music is very good to exercise with. See, the particular tone that Disney music has, the soprano high voices they have, is supposed to be calming and relaxing. So the next time, you know, you're busting out reps at the gym or doing going for a run, chuck on some Disney music. It will affect your Spotify Wrapped, but it'll give you a nice, calm, relaxing headspace as you run. So that's like a non-preaching tip for you on the side there, guys. But, you know, back to the message, back to preaching. As followers of Jesus, as this church, as part of this church, the year of 2025 has been a significant one. As Pastor Rachel mentioned in the prayer, our declaration for the year was by faith that we would see the unseen. And, you know, as I look across the room, I know there is testimony after testimony of the unseen being seen. You know, houses, families moving into their first homes, visas being approved, new jobs, promotions coming about, loved ones coming to know Jesus personally, loved ones being baptized. We want to celebrate that today. We want to celebrate all the amazing things that God has done. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21 says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That we give him glory today. We rejoice in what he has done. We celebrate the great things, the unseen that we are seeing. But, you know, as we reflect on the year that has gone as well, for some of us, as Pastor Rachel said as well, we are yet to see the unseen come to pass. Can I encourage you from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23? It says this: "Let us hold unswervingly." In other versions, it says, "Let us hold without wavering to the hope we profess. For he who promised, the God we serve, the God we follow, he is faithful." You know, friends, this morning we're going to look at a scripture that encourages in our faith, around our faith on this journey of finding joy and hope. My prayer is that wherever you are on this journey, you know, whether you've seen the unseen and you're believing for the next thing, whether you're somewhere in between, whether you're in the midst of a trial, that you will be encouraged in the faith, hope, and joy that we have in Jesus. So would you join me as I pray? God, I just thank you that you are a faithful God. We thank you for who you are and all that you've done. And Holy Spirit, as I speak, I pray that you would minister to our hearts as only you can, that you would be the teacher, that you would be the counselor, that you would be the guide, that you would be the advocate, that you would speak to us as only you can, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're following along in your Bible, your Bible app, which I encourage you to do, so the passage of scripture we're looking at today comes from the book of Romans. This is Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Romans is a letter that covers a wide range of things, including instruction and exhortation to the church around the gospel, around God's grace for us, around salvation being through faith in Jesus, and the gift of Holy Spirit. Today we are looking specifically at Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. So if you're following along in your Bibles or Bible app, Romans 5, starting at verse 1, the scriptures will appear on the screen as well. Romans 5, 1. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." You know, friends, if you're taking notes this morning, you and I, we have been made right with God through faith in Jesus. We have been made right with God through faith in Jesus. It says in verse 1, it says we have peace with God. This is not the same as the peace of God, as it talks about in Philippians 4, that surpasses all understanding, but we have peace with God. We are restored to right relationship with God. Because of Jesus, our sin, our wrongdoing, no longer creates a separation between us and God. Instead, I love what it says in this verse 1 and 2. Through faith in Jesus, we experience his undeserved privilege. You and I have access to his undeserved privilege. In the NIV in verse 2, it actually says, we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. Now, you know, to get into the church building, we need a fob to get in. And, you know, just like the fob requires the door to be unlocked, is required to unlock the door, our faith in Jesus gives us access to this undeserved privilege, to his grace, to his love. But, you know, through faith in Jesus, as it says in verse 2, we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Through faith in Jesus, you and I have confidence. We can boast, we can rejoice for today, for the future, and for eternity. You know, this morning, friends, I think about that. If there was nothing else you could think of to rejoice in, this is something to celebrate. This is something to rejoice in, that our faith in Jesus gives us access to his grace, his undeserved privilege, his love, his hope. The hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that you and I have been made right with God through faith in Jesus. You and I have been made right with faith, made right by faith in Jesus. What an encouragement to us. But let's continue on to read in Romans chapter 5, because it talks about other things we can rejoice in as well. Verses 3 to 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. See, that makes me feel less like rejoicing when I hear about that. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Point number 2, if you're taking notes this morning, find joy in the trials. See, in verse 3, as I said, it says rejoice. In other versions, it says to glory in or to boast in. I don't know about you, but I've never boasted in the troubles and the hardships that I've had in life. It's not something that we tend to do as a society. But, you know, this scripture reminds me a little bit of what it says in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, full vulnerable, honest moment here. I sometimes read that and I go, oh, whatever, man. It's like, do I need more trials? Really? Trials develop endurance? I don't think anyone has ever said, yes, trials are coming my way. I'm so excited. Anyone like that? I'm definitely not like that. I go, oh, great, another trial. But, you know, can I suggest that both these passages of scripture are not speaking of finding joy or considering it joy as a feeling, but as a state of understanding the fruit or the outcome that comes from that trials. Because if we look at both Romans 5 and James 1, it says the trials and trouble develop endurance. This endurance builds our character. And then growing, developing our character, it strengthens our confident hope in him. As we read again in verse 4, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. You know, through the trials, we learn, we grow. And perhaps I can liken it a little bit to a training analogy called progressive overload. Now, progressive overload is a concept or a mode of training where you progressively increase the weights, the reps, the sets, or that reduce the rest time between your exercises at the gym, because it helps to increase adaptation, force continuous adaptation, and help your body to not plateau or get used to it. It makes you stronger, it builds muscle endurance, it helps you, you know, run further, faster, all of these things. And can I suggest that perhaps these two scriptures are talking about, through the joy in the trials, we celebrate the outcome of that progressive overload, that through the things that we consider hard or the things that we're considering our challenges in our life, that they're actually building our faith muscle. See, I can testify personally from my life of time and time again how I've seen my faith grow, how I've seen this faith muscle grow through the trials, through the difficult things that have happened. And, you know, I brought like some little illustration things today so that we can demonstrate. I've only brought the little weights, hey, because it's like, you know, we don't want the heavy weights. But, you know, throughout my life, I think time and time again, God has been faithful. And, you know, when I finished uni, I did uni in Adelaide. And in my class of 120 people, there was, I think, 80 or 90 intern spots in South Australia. And I was one of the better students. So I was like, oh, like, surely I'll get a position. But I didn't. And, you know, for me, that was a trial. Like, a lot of other people had started their intern year in November, December, and I still didn't have a job. But little did I know that God knew better. See, in that time of waiting and what I saw was a delay and what I saw was a trial, God actually prepared a job here in Geelong. Never even heard of Geelong before then. And here I am all these years later. See, that was maybe a little trial, but it was building the faith muscle that God had me. That was one step of building that faith muscle. That was trials that would build endurance. You know, fast forward a few years and I'm settled in Geelong. I'm looking at buying a block of land and trusting God that, wow, this is something that you're leading me to do. I can do this. And so I did it. But then, you know, this was at the start of 2020, right before COVID. So COVID delays, no building was happening. Everything was in lockdown. And then because of the cost of material, because of lack of imports, the price of everything skyrocketed. Interest rates had to go up. It was like, if anyone could have thought of a worse time to buy, I bought. And that, you know, and you think of that in the natural and you're like, oh, wow, this is a trial, this is a tribulation. But, you know, I look back at now and I think that was another a heavier weight. You know, God building endurance, God building strength, God building my faith muscle. And, you know, fast forward again to a couple of years later, all these things that looked like a trial, when God spoke to me about someone that maybe I might have a relationship with. Maybe this is someone he's leading me to. And, you know, it was unexpected. It was not someone who I've picked for myself. Just to clarify, I'm not saying that being married to Bevan is a trial. Just like, let me make that very clear. But, you know, the fact that the unexpected or the uncertain, that being married, like, or getting married to someone I wasn't expecting, I was like, can I do this? This is what you're leading me to. But all those things that had happened along the way, they'd built my faith muscle. The little things had built my endurance so that when it came to making that decision, I was like, I can do this, God. I can trust you with this. See, because that is the God we serve. He is a faithful God. You know, that scripture about finding joy in the trials is not about, woohoo, I'm so excited for my trials, but it's finding the outcome that God is teaching you, finding the faith muscle he is building you, finding the hope he is giving you, finding the strength that he's got for you, finding the confident hope he has for you in your situation. And, you know, today, while I wait for the unseen to be seen, I walk in confident hope that God has been faithful before and he will be faithful again. And that is my encouragement to you. You know, if you are still waiting for your unseen to be seen, that you can trust the God we serve. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. The God you follow is faithful. Chloe and Jordan, the God you follow is faithful. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to leave you. Even though it feels like nothing is happening in the natural, he has got you. And he will prove himself faithful in your life, guys. Hold on to hope. Hold on to who he is. You know, what about you? Can you recall a time in your life that God was faithful? You know, hindsight is really good like that. Hey, we can recall the good things that God has done. If you'd asked me, like, at the start of the journey, would I trust God in those things? I don't know. But we have the beauty of hindsight that we can recall what God has done in your life. So what has God done in your life when God answered a prayer? When God brought breakthrough. Can you recall that? Can you recall how that has built your faith muscle, built your endurance, and continue to trust him and continue to find joy in the trials? See, using hindsight, we can find joy in the outcome. There may not be much joy as a feeling in the situation, but we can look with confident hope to what God will do. So can I encourage you, in the midst of your situation, you can find joy in the trial. But also, point number three, if you're taking notes, hold on to hope as I invite the team to come back up. We read again in Romans 5:5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You know, sometimes we might read that scripture, oh, this hope does not lead to disappointment. Does that mean there's no sadness, there's no grief, no loss, no disappointment? Definitely not, unfortunately. But in the midst of all this, we can experience his hope. See, the Greek word for hope here is elpis, which can be translated to mean expectation of good or joyful and confident expectation. Friends, this morning, can I encourage you? Our hope is not like this, fingers crossed, or please God, maybe. It's a joyful and confident expectation. In whatever season of life you are in, we have the opportunity to experience His hope, His joyful and confident expectation, His assurance. See, this same word, elpis, for hope, joyful and confident expectation, is the word in Hebrews 23 that says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope, to the joyful and confident expectation we have in Him. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope, the joyful and confident hope, assurance we have in Him, for He is faithful. But can I encourage you? It's also the same word that is used in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 to 19. So God has given both His promise and His oath, His undeniable, irrevocable, unretractable, irreversible promise. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we, you and I, who have fled to Him for refuge, can have great confidence as we hold on to this hope, this elpis, this joyful and confident expectation that lies before us. Verse 19, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Now, I'm not much of a sailor or boat person, but I know a boat, an anchor will hold a boat in place. An anchor will hold a boat in place. And can I encourage you, this hope is an anchor for our souls, for our minds, for our will, for our emotions. In whatever season you might find yourself in, this hope we have, this joyful and confident expectation we have, is an anchor for our souls. It will hold us steadfast in the good times, in the okay times, and in the challenges of life, because this is the hope we can have in Him. But how can we be sure of this hope? How can we be sure of it when we don't feel like it, when it seems like nothing is changes? Because of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5, it says again, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit, the promised helper, the gift we have to fill our hearts with our love. You know, in moments where you're like, I don't know if I can hold on to hope, I'm so uncertain, we can stand in confident assurance because of the Holy Spirit that was given to us. Holy Spirit reminds us and assures us of His love. He reminds us of our right standing with God when we are uncertain. So my friend, in times of trouble, in times of uncertainty, ask Holy Spirit to remind you and fill you with the confident assurance, the hope you can have in Him. Ask Holy Spirit to help you find joy in the trial and hold on to hope. And if you find yourself in a season of challenge right now, in a season of uncertainty, can I remind you once again, as we said at the start, of God's great love for you? Pastor Rachel spoke about this in communion, but as we read from Romans 5, verse 6 to 8, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. This is the good news of Jesus. God showed His great love to us. He sent Jesus to live on the earth. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus performed signs, miracles, and wonders. The perfect life He led qualified Him to go to the cross for your sin, for my sin, for our wrongdoing. His death, His burial, His resurrection created a pathway for us to be made right with God through faith in Jesus, to be restored to right relationship with God. We have the opportunity to be set free from guilt, shame, condemnation, the things that can weigh us down in this life. We get to experience the benefits of walking with Him, His grace, His joy, His peace, His provision. We get to stand in that place of undeserved privilege, as it says in Romans 5:2. But I love what it says in Romans 5, verse 6, that when we were utterly helpless, we were powerless to do it ourselves. It's all based on Him. My friend, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. It's unconditional. It's freely given. It is by the grace of God. But you know, it does require something of us. It requires a heart that turns to Jesus, that declares our faith in Him, and asks Him to lead your life. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, friend, if you're here this morning, in this room here, you're watching online now at a later date, and you know you want to be made right with God through faith in Jesus. you know that perhaps once you walk closer with God, but you've walked away, you say, I need to be made right with you through faith in Jesus. Or you've never made a decision of faith in Jesus. I would love to give you the opportunity to do so. See, that scripture, Romans 10:9 says, a declaration if you declare with your mouth. And that's what we'll do as a church together, a prayer that we pray out loud, that I will pray and the church will repeat after me. So if I can invite everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads. And you know, my friend, if that's you and you say to me, do you know what? I will need to make that declaration for myself. I need to pray that prayer. Can I invite you to raise your hand quickly and then you can put it down? You know, this is a prayer between you and God. It's not a matter of the hands or your heart, or not a matter of the hand that you put up, but a heart that says, I need to declare you as Lord of my life. I need to get right with you. So if that's you, can I invite you to put your hand up and then you can put it down. Thank you, I see your hand. Church, why don't we pray this prayer together? And you know, if you needed to pray that prayer and you didn't put your hand up, that's okay. As I said, it's not a matter of your hand putting up, but a heart that says, I want to be made right with God. So would you join me in praying this prayer, church? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross, you died, you were buried, and you rose again so I could be made right with God. I declare you as Lord Jesus, and I believe that you were raised from the dead. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Today I choose to turn to you and follow you. Teach me your ways. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.